Every 4 years, the United States Defense Department produces an important document called the Quadrennial Defense Review, or QDR. This document is mandated by Congress, and it lays out the country's defense strategy to meet global threats, maintain U.S. leadership, while ensuring that these two objectives fit into the budget of the Defense Department. The latest QDR was released by the Pentagon in March. All eyes were on this year's QDR because it had to rebalance America's defense efforts in a period of increasing fiscal constraint as the country simultaneously rebalances its military assets towards Asia and reduces the size of the military. My guest today, Dr. Daniel Chu, is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Strategy and one of the nation's senior officials responsible for creating the QDR. Dr. Chu believes it is important for the influential audience in the Foreign Policy Association's Great Decisions Program to understand the QDR in this time of transformation for the country. He spoke to me from his offices in the Pentagon. So, Dr. Chu, I know that you and your team have been working very hard at the Quadrennial Defense Review, and I just wanted to ask you, could you explain to the Foreign Policy Association's listeners what this QDR is and why it's so important?
Thank you for the question. The Quadrennial Defense Review is a legislatively mandated report to Congress. It is an opportunity for us to have a discussion with Congress, in particular about DoD's long-term strategic plan. In the QDR, our main mandate is to map out what we see as the future security environment, identify our defense strategy by talking about our key national security objectives, our strategic approaches, and then match that to the appropriate means or capabilities or forces that are required in order to meet that from a defense perspective. So this is the beginning of a dialogue we have every 4 years with Congress as they think about things like our budget and our investment strategy. But perhaps more importantly to the Department of Defense, it is a significant opportunity for us to conduct a strategic review, to take stock of where we are, to look at the future and to ensure that we are appropriately aligned for the future and meeting those requirements with our investment.
Well, it sounds like it's something that is, at this point in time, really critically needed, isn't it? Because not just the changes in the geopolitical environment, but it seems as though technology is changing the field of defense so rapidly. So was this a particularly important QDR that you've just finished?
Yes, you're exactly right. We do see a lot of change, both what I would call external and internal. I'll explain that in a second. And this was a very, very important QDR for that reason. Let me actually go back just a little bit to say that we have been, since the 2010 QDR, really trying to think of QDRs as more ongoing iterative processes than necessarily these once every 4 year discussions.
Right.
And as you can imagine, over the past 4 years since the last QDR, there has been really demonstrable need for an ongoing iterative process because of the magnitude and rate of change that we've seen.
Right.
So externally, in particular, what we've seen is not only just a rapidly changing environment, but some really significant changes, including really notable diffusion of power. So what I mean by that is really seeing changes in our security environment that are less about what other key state actors are doing, nation states are doing, but also really significantly about what we're seeing in terms of social movements. Look at, for example, what's happening in the Middle East and North Africa on an ongoing basis. Internally, I don't have to tell you that what we've seen is really significant change in what normally is a fair amount of budgetary certainty for the Department of Defense to a really significantly uncertain budgetary environment. So as we try and match our resources to our strategy needs, both sides of that equation have become extremely uncertain and complex for us, and that's really created a different condition for us to do this particular QDR in.
Well, it sounds, Dr. Chu, from what you're saying, that there is an increasing need for the trajectories of the Pentagon and the State Department to converge in a number of areas. You were talking about social movements and so on. So is that something that you factor into your thinking?
It is. It's something we have obviously been thinking about for some time. You've heard us talking about improving or increasing our interagency collaboration coordination for some time. But we see it as a very sharply increasing need as the strategic environment around us changes.
Right.
In particular, we see much more interconnectivity between types of actors, types of issue sets, and regions that require us to respond to security challenges, not just in our what I would call usual stovepipe manners, in
right.
a diplomatic lane, a military lane, a developmental lane, an economic lane, etc. We really need to address these issues holistically in a fully coordinated and integrated manner. We see that in so many different regions. Again, Middle East, North Africa is a great example of it. But frankly, even the current crisis with Russia and Crimea is an example of that as well.
Well, let me ask you, and I'm drilling down a bit here. Lots of people are talking about the size of the army. I'll just take that, and that it's the smallest in half a century, and that what the U.S. is doing is taking the constrained budgets and putting the country's defense at risk. Now, I've read the QDR, and I know that that is not true, but I just wanted you to respond to that for the layman who just reads the newspapers and makes judgments.
I think that the concern is well intended, and I think it's, I certainly understand the sentiment. The U.S. Army has been a very significant and continues to be a very significant part of our national defense. However, I do think it's based on misimpression for a couple of reasons.
Right.
First, in terms of the resources, while we are facing significant resource constraints, as you can tell simply by our budget numbers,
yes.
let's remember that these are still a very significant amount of resources. We are really constraining after a period of rather significant growth. And we maintain defense expenditures far above many of the other countries behind us combined.
Right.
So this is still a very significant amount of resources. Secondly, while it is natural to focus on things like numbers, quantitative numbers of capacity, and compare them to previous times, we all know that the Army of today, and certainly the Army of 2020, which we are planning for in the QDR, is qualitatively completely different than the army of half a century ago or before. So the comparison is simply more than apples and oranges. It is completely unwarranted. Really what we think is quite critical is to emphasize the three kind of pillars of what we look at when it comes to force structure, which is capacity, capability, and readiness.
Yes.
So yes, the numbers do matter,
right.
and we need to make sure we have sufficient capacity. But the capabilities are equally, if not more important in many cases, because there's no point having masses of troops that are unable to accomplish the missions we need them to accomplish
yes.
in the modern age. And then readiness, which has to do with training and availability and these sorts of often overlooked considerations, is also critical, because having a lot of very capable troops that are not ready is not helpful either. So our emphasis in this QDR has been to balance between the three of those and to ensure we have the right balance of capacity, capability, and readiness to meet the challenges that we see not only today but off into the future. The QDR tends to do a 10 to 20 year out look. In fact, it's legislatively required to do a 20 year out look. So one that is appropriate and adaptable and flexible for that entire time frame.
From what you're saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that the grand strategy of the United States actually still has a significant piece that deals with land power, right? Which is the other concern a lot of people have.
It certainly does. We still see the Army and land power as being an important element in preserving our national security interests, both at home and around the world, since we know those are intertwined with each other. Very minimally, you can see that in places like Korea, we continue to have really significant needs for those types of capabilities. But in many other parts of the world as well, and we recognize there may be unanticipated areas of challenge as well, we recognize the very important role that land power plays in maintaining our security.
You've been listening to a conversation from his offices at the Pentagon with Dr. Dan Chu. On behalf of the Foreign Policy Association, this is Sarwar Kashmiri. Thank you for listening.